And opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
The Revolution with Warren McCartney is sponsored by J.S. Johnson, Burger King, Commonwealth Bank, Wendy's, Scotiabank, CJ Atlantic, Ron's Electric Motors, Island Wholesale, and Bahamas Check Services.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome
to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I want to start off by sending a happy birthday shout out to Brenda McCartney up there in Tarpon Bay. That's from her brother, Kirk. She turned, I believe, 70 or 71 yesterday. Happy birthday, want to say to you, and hope you live to see many, many more. All right, so today we're going to talk about the VAT issue in light of the government releasing its modeling for the VAT decrease. Okay, so a couple of things here. Firstly, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm surprised that they actually have this, because I ain't seen the VAT model that was supposedly there from 2018 when they put it up to this day, right? So it's this. These are very technical things, but we're going to try to break it down as best we can, all right? The conversation around VAT over the past few days, right, is sort of reminiscent of the conversation we were having when they were raising VAT, in terms of it appears that an outsized portion of this conversation is focused on so-called poor people. So whatever that definition is you want to ascribe to poor people, and so far as you want to describe that as people being broke, or you want to ascribe that to people who are living below the poverty level, however you want to describe it, the conversation seems to have taken an outsized turn on that. And that's unfortunate. Let me say this. While I do care about those, particularly children who are living in poverty, particularly those elderly people who are on a fixed income, I'm not tripping off the breadbasket items attracting VAT at all, okay? At all. For some people, that may stress them, but, and I'm going to tell you why I'm not tripping. For some people, that might stress them, right? Particularly, like I said, those on a fixed income. But overall, your grocery bill will go down. It's just basic math. If 2,000 items in the food store attract a lower rate of VAT, clearly, you're going to save more money than you'll be spending for the 20 items that now attract VAT. It's just, I don't know, 20 like low price point items, milk, right? Well, depending on what kind of milk you buy. If you get an oat milk and all this, then you probably have a problem. Now, here's the problem with it, right? The conversation. We had this same conversation last time. And to me, and I don't care whose feelings get hurt, to me it was a cynical ploy by the last administration to go, we're protecting the poor, right? You got your $50 water bill, don't attract VAT. Up to $300 electricity bill, don't attract VAT. These particular items don't attract VAT. It's nonsense because the entire cost of living went up dramatically. So you're pretending to protect the poor by putting greater strain on the economy and the middle class and the working class whose tax dollars go toward funding programs for the poor. It's nonsense, right? And so we continue to have this conversation in this country as if only the poor people need looking out for. And I'm all for looking out for the poor people, right? But if we're going to have a sensible, intelligent conversation as a country, let's talk about who really funds the government. The working class and the middle class by far fund the government of the Bahamas. So you protecting the poor does nothing to alleviate the strain on the working class and the middle class. Zero. So I'm not tripping off your breadbasket item at all. I'm tripping off what currently does not attract VAT and how that's going to impact that. Let me ask you this. Why, while I'm here, let me get this off my chest, right? So why don't the people who use electricity per month pay VAT? So you're telling me that they use the same service, but because I use more of it, I pay more. Okay. Also, riddle me this. In fact, I think the whole tiered rate system at BEC is trash, right? So why am I paying a higher rate when I use more electricity? I'm using the same service. And I could see you saying I'm using it during peak hours, and therefore you charge me a higher rate, as opposed to using it during off-peak hours. I understand that. I don't understand why, if I go over a certain threshold, I'm paying more and more and more, and the people who are using the same service are not paying as much or paying taxes on it. That would be like going to the gas station, okay? And if I buy a gallon of gas, it's $2 and no taxes. If I buy 2 gallons of gas, it's $4 per gallon and no taxes. But if I buy 3 gallons of gas, right, it's $7 a gallon and I'm paying taxes on it while these other people don't. It makes zero sense. And it's a cynical ploy to pander, because we all want to feel like we're such good people and we care about the poor and we care about the downtrodden in society because we're good Christians, right? But you're not talking nothing with sense when it comes to the impact on my bills, right? Because people like me, like I said, working class, middle class, I'm middle class and happy with it. I aspire to be rich. I've done everything you asked me to do. You said, try to go to school, get an education, come back, pay your taxes, be a good taxpayer, do it at the banks and all stuff. So I want to understand what you're going to do for us. Because, yeah, you took VAT off milk, right? Congratulations. But you put VAT up on all the ATM fees. You put VAT up on big ticket items that we have to purchase and come out of pocket for. You didn't help us. That don't help me that you took VAT off bread basket items and now they're going to put VAT back on bread. But I don't, come on. If you are stretched to the point where putting VAT on bread basket items is going to seriously impact you, then there are programs that the government has to assist you. Funded by who? By the working class and the middle class. That's who foots the bill. So I'm sorry, I'm not going to have a conversation based solely around VAT's impact on those who are poor and living in poverty. Because while it does impact them, it impacts those in the working class and the middle class far more. All right? The rich people, they can afford it, and they should pay more. As I said, if you're elderly on a fixed income, I think they should be protected, and children, of course, should be protected. But I can't live my entire existence going, what are we going to do for the poor? What are we going to do for the what are you going to do for us? All right? What are you going to do for us, man, who are filling your coffers? We're the ones who fund this government. You're borrowing on our backs. Yet you're talking to me about VAT on bread basket items. I do not care. And you're all going to be, oh, I'll say, what, Juan McCarthy? That's so cold-hearted. I don't care. Here's what currently, though, is exempted. Okay? Here's what's zero-rated. Bread basket items, certain medicines, biological products, categories of exports, certain transfers of real property, the acquisition of home for first-time homeowners with a value does not exceed $500,000, water bills not exceeding $50 per billing cycle, transfer of home mortgages and home mortgages combined with domestic loans, and a supply of services compromising fundraising events and activities undertaken by registered charities and nonprofits. That's zero-rated. By the way, only certain medicines, as they're characterized, are actually zero-rated in terms of VAT. So we're not talking about heavy prescription medication. I don't even know why Alki just brought that up, because that already attracts VAT. We're talking about aspirin, right? Certain medications. Exempted from VAT currently, insurance services in or from the Bahamas, such as life insurance, annuities, saving products, and home insurance, domestic financial services that do not attract a fee, medical services provided by public health to specified categories of patients, because medical services are now VAT. And that is going down is a good thing, all right? The medical services that do attract VAT. This is what I'm trying to explain to you. Like, you're talking about, oh, Jesus, the carnation cream's going to be 10% tax now. What are you talking about? Do you know how much it costs for medical procedures? Okay? Okay. Here's what else is exempt. The sale or rental of a dwelling, the transfer of vacant land, services provided by care facilities for the aged, indigent, infirm, handicapped, or disabled, religious services, certain services by a recognized charity, and services rendered by a daycare business, including the provision of after-school care. Here's what I understand from talking to my contacts in finance. The bill isn't finished yet. They're going to finish it, I believe, by this evening. But from my contacts in finance, I understand that they're not going to put VAT on home insurance. They're not going to put VAT on life insurance or annuities. And they are not going to put VAT on rent or the sale of a dwelling or the transfer of vacant land. Now, I highly doubt they'll be putting VAT back on charities. Things that will go away, one of the big ones they're going to do is transshipment. All right, they're going to change it from zero rating to exempt because right now those big companies are getting refunds for VAT that they're not actually paying. So this is what I want to understand. Like, I want to have a real serious conversation. I want to talk about carnation cream, right? Because this real life here, all right? Yes, we have people who are living in poverty. Yes, we have poor people. But the majority of this country's taxes are generated from the working class and the middle class. And if you're not talking about protecting them and only about protecting poor people, and yet don't want to impact rich people by charging them income tax or raising the minimum wage or whatever like this to have people make more money, then I don't know what we're talking about. Then I don't want to talk about it. if we're talking about carnation cream and bread. And oh God, that's surrounded the cup. No, dude, I'm talking about how is my quality of life for those of us who are working and living and trying to have something in this country, how's this gonna impact me as well? Because I don't want to be excluded from this conversation. Like, would I have some sort of guilt that I have a job and make money? That's supposed to guilt me into like shutting up about the bread. Oh, the don't touch the fat because the bread basket. Are you insane? Now, don't touch my rental stuff, right? The medical supplies, the medicines that are now attracting VAT, that goes down, great. All right? Now, these models are voluminous, I'll be honest with you. And we'll go through, I'm trying to find the right one. We'll probably do some of your taxes and I'll find. I'm trying to find the specific one we're talking about because they modeled it on a couple of different scenarios, okay? And we'll get into that. But first, let me deal with some of your questions. So anyway, that's just me, right? Selfish, greedy capitalist Juan is worried about his family, right? Everybody's contorting themselves to look like the best person ever by saying, well, you know, the breadbasket items is going to kill people. All right, let's do some text. I know, get mad at me. I do not care. Do I look out for poor people? Do I help them every chance I get beyond paying taxes that fund programs for the poor? Absolutely. Do I want to make sure they're taken care of? Absolutely. But we can't have this conversation around VAT just talking about poor people. Because I pay more VAT than them. And other stuff. All right, so I'll once again be the bad guy and say, how about for a second we stop talking about the impact on poor people and talk about the actual real-world impact on the working class and the middle class, all right? The fellas out there, shout out to the guys at Rosewood, the bar at Rosewood. I went there on Saturday. Great service. Beautiful, right? Shout out, I was talking to one of the guys there. He's saying he listens to the show. Shout out to them. They're working-class people. They're the ones helping fund all this stuff for people, all right? People like myself with careers, we're funding this thing. And so if you're not talking about how to make life easier for us and all we're talking about, well, the poor people are going to drop down dead if you put VAT on flour, what are we even talking about? So to me, it was just a cynical ploy by the FNM to bring that up last lap in any event. Getting feedback? Oh, we got a call? That's fine. Let's take the call. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. No? Okay. So the CDC says that they want unvaxxed persons to get vaccinated to protect themselves against the fully vaccinated persons because fully vaccinated persons are transmitting the virus tenfold to unvaxxed persons. I don't know. Okay. Says, good afternoon, McCartney. I'm impressed so far with the government speakers on the speech from the throne. They're not bashing their opposition all day. Chester Cooper and Pierre Glover Roll were great. It's really refreshing. It says, Juan, how are you? I was driving in Fox Hill, dropping a pothole, though thought I lost my car. Please tell them to fix the road. Please, a new day. Where? On Fox Hill pothole? Whereabouts? Let me know. I'll shoot them a message. It says, so bread almost cost $5. You may be able to afford it, but not someone with four children between 8 and up. I ate tea and butter and bread with no less than 5 to 8 slices as a child when nothing else was there. Yes, I can afford it now, but all those Haitians with 10 children who you have no problem with can't. That's why social services draining our resources. I'm unclear as to the connection with your point. Yes, I can afford bread. Yes. All right? But I can't afford VAT on all this other stuff. Social services is funded by those of us who can afford bread. Okay? And I'm not going to dwell, and again, I'll be your bad guy, because all you want to act like, oh, it's only poor people that exist out here. I'll be the bad guy, right? Since none of y'all want to admit it. It ain't my fault that somebody's in poverty. I'm going to try to help them, but that I didn't put them in poverty. I didn't make their choices. So you asked me to help fund social services and programs for the poor and raise money for the poor and help Bishop Hanchel feed the poor and all that? Absolutely. Are we going to craft our entire government policy surrounding that? We can't. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hey, how are you doing?
Hey, I'm great. How's it going?
Man, one boy, you know, I don't tell this much people, so much men. I love you to death, you know, because you're real.
Thanks, man.
You're like me. One, let me tell you something, one. Let me tell you what I try to do. When I go to get my driver's license renewed, I do it for 3 years straight.
Yeah, me
because
too.
I make all kind of money. I pay my what? I pay national insurance. I don't talk. I owe national insurance. I don't know how you do it. I pay them next week. You know, poor people in this country, one. And let me tell you why. I just be in the city every day. I watch the people who are wearing forward here, makeup, bleach, all kind of things. Parties every day. They are all kind of being parties last night in the farm road. Two, three different places. Then people just don't like pay bills. And one you, I don't know what happened in the next couple of months. People like me and you, who they say that the working class and middle class, we can be on the service line and I be getting less money. It is wrong. I don't know why they ain't taxing the rich people can take. That shares these companies and things, and they don't want to ask themselves. That's why I want to keep telling you all nothing to change in this country until 2027. But people that you, the real Bohemian people, you and your wife, you know, I'm born, God save the Queen. I swear my allegiance to the Queen of Earth and has a sister. People don't like us, man. Now you are seeing what I be saying all the time. And same thing, my call, my brother.
No problem, my brother. Take care. So I'm going to be your bad guy today. All right? There's one on a $300 food bill. If $50 is bread basket items, the 10% of that is $5. And the other $250 is on non-bread basket items, then the fall from 12 to 10% would be a savings of $5. Therefore, in this scenario, there's no overall saving. It's a wash. The problem for those who spend a greater proportion on bread basket items but are not poor enough to get the social service help will pay more VAT on their food. Says Taiwan, it's the same in a lot of countries. The middle class always carries the burden. You can't fight it, but it's not right. Says we're talking about helping the poor, but at the same time, the rich are taken care of as well. Let's see a stamp tax, duty, and property tax summary of all the cruise ship islands, private islands, and Exuma and million-dollar homes still undervalued at $50,000 from the 1970s standard. Not saying punish the rich, but if you can't afford it, then work it out. I agree. The rich should pay their fair share. Says one, I never understand why our government never caters to the real taxpayers, but solely to the poor and the rich, the two groups that pay the least. The poor don't have it, and the rich use loopholes. Not denigrating anybody for being poor, all right? My father grew up, and he was poor growing up. You know what I mean? It's something that we just have to deal with. Like Jesus said, the poor will always be with us, you know? And we just have to deal with it. But we can't keep pandering, acting as if only poor people exist in this country. I keep saying this and people get mad at me. I don't care. We can't keep speaking as if only poor people exist in this country. We can't keep speaking as if only young people between the ages of 18 and 40 are the primary concern of everything in the country. Like when we speak, we don't even speak to people. Right? Like I talked about this, we're absented. Yep. The middle class, the working class, we're absent from these discussions. They're fine. Are we? It says, good afternoon, Juan. The working class and the middle class get the short end of the stick because they're the weakest group. They're the small business owners or those who can't afford to lose their good jobs. The wealthy may be fewer in number, but they have the power to lobby for laws to avoid taxes or the money to pay taxes without worry. The poor are most by their need for basics like food and shelter. They're also the largest population. Who would let all those potential votes go to waste? It says, Juan, it's a good thing you were not born in poverty. If you were, your entire perspective would be different. Very disappointed at the pompous vibe you're giving off on the show today. I told you, I'm going to be your bad guy today, right? I'm going to say what people are thinking, but they're afraid to say because of people like you who are going to judge them and say it's pompous to say that the middle class and the working class should be protected as well. Right? We think too highly of ourselves. If not for the middle class and the working class, we wouldn't have social programs to take care of those people who were born in poverty. I don't need to be born in poverty to understand that poor people do need to be taken care of. To the extent that you can't afford the breadbasket items, there is social services in the form of the RISE program they're going to reinstitute that will allow you to have cash to pay at the register. All right? I'm going to be the guy who's unpopular with people who want to appear virtuous today. If you're disappointed, you're just going to have to live with that disappointment. It's difficult. Sometimes you have to live with things you don't like. Good morning. Did you hear that an arrest warrant was issued for the Pope? I didn't hear an arrest warrant was issued for the Pope. It says, Juan, you're giving the definition of economics. It's considering the effect of changes on a wide variety of dependent variables, then making informed changes. Unfortunately, it was all into political PR moves with no underpinning studies. I do think we need to give an extra thought to poor people having no food to give your kids is no joke. Social services doesn't help everyone. Absolutely. Am I saying, forget the poor people, let them die? Of course I'm not. Right? I don't believe poor people are going to have some sort of outsized food bill because of VAT being attracted on breadbasket items while VAT is reduced on all the other items, right? So you tell me poor people don't eat potato chips, soda, juice? No? Says, hey Juan, totally agree with you. Just had this same conversation with someone over the weekend. I've been working now for the past 35 years and not one day claim from NIB. Says, they look at me and call me the bad guy. It says, don't discount poor people, Juan. Though I agree the middle class needs protection, you need to take a deep breath and exhale. Your privilege is showing. And that's what it's going to be, right? That's what it's going to be. You know, we're guilted into this sense of don't actually, if you work hard and you follow all the rules and somehow you get ahead and somehow you make money, you're never supposed to say, I too need assistance. I too need help. Let's frame an entire conversation about a tax that attracts hundreds of millions of dollars around breadbasket items, right? Because that's productive. And I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to be that guy. I look out for poor people all the time. But I'm not going to sit here and have a policy discussion about that that's overwhelmingly funded by the working class and the middle class just to talk about its effect on those who are living in poverty, for which social safety nets now exist. Should they be strengthened? Sure, but they do exist. We gotta take a break, we'll be back.
Nassau and Pepsi want to bring you a fun day on us. Upgrade your favorite combo and get a chance to win great prizes like staycations at Atlantis or Baja Mar, powerboat adventure excursions, or a Blue Lagoon dolphin encounter. You can also win a relaxing day at Sandy Toes or a VIP movie experience at Fusion. Upgrade your combo at any of Burger King Nassau's 7 locations and enter to win online at bk242.com. Win fun days with Pepsi and Burger King, where taste is king.
Atlantic Agents. How may I help you?
Yes, I want to know where to go to get third-party motor insurance.
Are you sitting down?
Yes.
Okay, could you put your feet up?
Okay.
Great. Just go to cgatlanticagents.com, where you can get a quote and buy your insurance online.
Relax. Now you can buy third-party motor insurance wherever and whenever you want. It's as easy as click, quote, buy. CG Atlantic Agents. Good like that. Nassau Insurance Brokers and Agents Limited. Trading as CG Atlantic Agents.
Hubert Edwards Global, in collaboration with Dr. Dave Burrows and iRise, presents the 5th Annual Success Summit under the theme, Success Keys to Transform Your World, December 3rd through 4th. 2 days of transformational experiences with dynamic presenters from the Bahamas, Nigeria, Canada, USA, and Jamaica. You can't afford to miss this mind shift moment. 5 scholarship grants, 2 leadership awards, 1 life-changing event. This is a virtual event, so visit www.nlsolutionsbahamas.com for more details. This is what you've been waiting for. Success Summit 2021.
Throughout our lifetime, we must all make decisions. No matter how we choose, the right one just needs to be made. Like having J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers as your insurance partner. We've been serving the Bahamas for over 100 years. Whether you need home, motor, marine, or commercial insurance, make the right decision. Call 397-2100 or visit jsjohnson.com.
J.S. Johnson Insurance.
At Wendy's, our food is made to make you crave. Crave our pretzel BLT burger or Chipotle crunch for only $5 each. Our Chipotle crunch chicken sandwich is covered in crispy jalapenos, Chipotle aioli, cheddar cheese sauce, and much more. Or bite into our pretzel BLT with fresh beef, cheddar cheese sauce, applewood smoked bacon, and smoky honey mustard sauce on a pretzel bun. Restrictions apply. Eat and earn reward members. Remember to scan or swipe to earn points. Wendy's, different inside and out.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Revolution. We were talking about the VAT issue. I got the VAT models. We're going to go through it. Some of y'all don't like that I'm not pandering to the discussion, talking about poverty and VAT's impact on the poor. And I'm going to explain to you why that is as we go through the models. This modeling shows that this will help the poor. Okay? But the conversation can't solely revolve around the poor. Okay? It says, re-listen to this broadcast so you can hear yourself. I mean, I hear myself right now. It says, you can be both sensitive to the poor and fight for the rights of the middle class. They're not mutually exclusive. You can do it. I am being sensitive to the poor. If I were not, I would say that we should not spend any money on social service programs, and I think that's a bad idea. If I weren't sensitive to the plight of the poor, I'd say we shouldn't spend money on old age pensions. People should get their own pension. I am very sensitive to the plight of the poor. What I'm saying is, if you want the poor to be taken care of, you're going to have to focus on how to grow the working class and the middle class. And therefore, my concern is that we have an economy that's functioning so that we can allow people to both move from poverty into the middle class and from the middle class into the upper class, the wealthy, all right? So that we can collect taxes, so that we can do the things that do assist the poor, okay? If I were saying I don't care about the poor, I would say, why are we spending so much money on public education? But I'm not saying that. I think it's necessary, and I think it is. If I wasn't, I'd be like, well, why are we spending so much money on public health? I'm not saying that. I'm quite sensitive to them, but I'm not going to have the conversation and just talk about its impact on the poor. I think it was just a cynical ploy by the last administration. It says, Juan, you sound like you're on that PLP Kool-Aid strong. I'm on this VAT reduction Kool-Aid strong. I could tell you that. I welcome it as long as you maintain the exemptions that are currently sensible. Okay? This says, great show, Juan. I like the bad guy perspective. I want to add, some Bahamians need to learn to make better decisions, save you money, stop having a bunch of churn you can't afford. Outside of that, let's talk about tax returns. Exemption on duty is folly. What if we can get the money on exemption money back on a government account to help us with government essentials like driver's license or to build up for down payment on government homes? Yeah, that's not a bad idea. So some of you don't have honest conversations with yourself, and that's part of it. All right. It says, A1, I understand that the poor are vulnerable, but the goal should not just be to take care of the poor. The main goal should be to empower them to come out of poverty on their own strength. Handouts only handicap these persons to keep them in a state of dependency. Instead of doing better, when we speak of handouts, this should primarily be those that are elderly, mentally ill, or severely handicapped. Some level of personal responsibility needs to come into the picture. A lot of their situations are a direct correlation of their choices. We can't keep taking care and rewarding persons who make repeated reckless decisions. And listen, I'm not here to watch your decisions. I'm not here to watch your choices. I'm just saying they weren't my choices. I don't believe that children should go to bed hungry because their parents have made poor choices. Okay? I don't believe that children should be denied an education because their parents perhaps hit really hard times. All right? Quite the opposite. All right? Oh, boy. It says, do Bahamians not understand how it works? In order for the poor to get stuff for free, someone has to work. It says, forget that person who sent that text about privilege. Are they living in this time? Ask them how government is funded. Let me see. It says, Swan, I'm on your side. Ignore the virtuous. My wife lost a $100,000 investment because of the pandemic. I told her not to claim anything from NIB because there are persons who need it more than her. I've been paying NIB for over 20 years and never claim. Me and your group pays the most, and the poor sympathize. The poor sympathizers need to show us the respect we deserve because, believe it or not, they're freeloading off us. Word. I wouldn't characterize it as freeloading. It says, also, your show touches all the taboo areas in our society. If anyone don't like it, tell them listen to the sensitive Let's All Get Along first show in the morning. I'm talking brass tacks, man. All right? I'm talking, you want the country to run properly? You want police to get paid? Yeah? You want free public education? Right? Then you need to figure out how to best protect the people who are paying all these taxes. Because that ain't the only tax. It's like the largest one, but it ain't the only one. I can promise you that. This is one I 1,000% agree with you. The middle class, my goodness, needs a break too. The value of $100 is far less nowadays than it was in the last 7 years. And many of us in the middle class have not had an increase in salary for years, but we're the ones that sustain the economy, yet it is getting more and more difficult to pay our bills. Many of us work 2 and 3 jobs, but if we migrate, we would only have to work one. And that's my whole point, is the thing too. And so my issue with the previous administration, and even I heard some of Peter Turnquist's comments, I believe it was on Friday on Morning Blend. My issue with it is, are we having an honest conversation about it? Like, because your VAT increase was detrimental to the middle class and the working class. And that someone's talking about decreasing it makes all the sense in the world. I'm not going to derail that by going, well, you know, bread and milk is, so let's scrap it, right? I'll be the guy who says the thing nobody wants to say out loud. I'll get into the models on the other side. It says, one, I agree with you. I don't work to entirely fund the lives of others. I'd like to enjoy the fruits of my labor. We need a system that benefits all, not only a small group, whether it be rich, middle class, or the poor. It says, the decrease in VAT will help, but the bigger issue is the high cost of living. Due to inflationary pressures, the positive impact will be minimized. You may be absolutely right, and we're going to go through that, actually, with these economic models. It says, absolutely right, Avatar Juan. Just because we made better decisions in life doesn't mean we should be ignored. I like to help people, but only a fool would do so to their own detriment. That's not virtuous. It's nonsense. This says it will not help the poor directly. It will increase revenues for the government, period. What good is it to increase the tax burden on the backs of Bahamians only to turn around and give it back to some in social assistance? The best way to help the poor is not to increase the tax burden, but to provide an environment that creates good-paying, sustainable jobs. I agree. That's how you help the poor. You help the poor by uplifting them. You don't help them by having disingenuous conversations about how their lives are going to go to hell when the modeling shows that it won't. Let's do some more stuff. This is absolutely correct. One, playing by the rules and paying your bills on time is not rewarded. How do we expect to get better in this country if bad behavior and laziness is rewarded with further discounts or extensions to take care of debt? It says, you're speaking sense, Juan, but a rephrase might be necessary. I also think our focus should be on growth. I've been saying so for years. I recall last year when your colleague completely ripped apart the notion that we could grow the economy, saying that 1% growth was growth. It's that type of thinking that kept us aiming for the bottom. We need to grow taxes. We need to grow. Taxes are not working. The hole is just getting deeper. My colleague said we could grow the economy saying that 1% growth is growth. 1% growth is growth, but it's anemic growth. You want to consistently... I mean, you could have an economy growing at like 2, 3% a year and see a dramatic shift in things. On about 1%. So what I'm seeking to do is just to explain that I think it's an intellectually dishonest approach to talking about what is being proposed with VAT, all right? They're playing on your emotions once again, like they played on your emotions last time, all right? Anyone from the PLP paying me? Anyone from the PLP helping me that I should go to bat for anything for the PLP? But what I'm trying to say is I want to look at a bigger conversation about how this actually could impact the middle class and the poor. The wealthy, they'll be all right. We got a call. Let's do the call. No? Are they hung up? Okay, no problem. It says the VAT decrease won't help much, not unless we need to deal with price control. The food stores are going up, so when the decrease in VAT occurs, it won't make a difference. I wanted, did you see that public notice on page 7, Business in the Guardian today? That's serious. $50,000 fine for three years. I haven't seen it yet. I'll try to go look at it. We got a call? We can do a call quick before the 1 o'clock break. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hey, good afternoon, Juan. How you doing, bro?
Hey, I'm good, man. How's it going?
I'm doing fine, thank you. I was trying to call you for a while. I'm looking at the time. You mentioned your 1 o'clock break. I'm wondering if I should call back on the next night.
Yeah, if you have something you want to air out, yeah, I would say not to do it in a minute, unless you could do it in a minute, but if you want more than a minute.
Then... Okay, but can I just use this minute to say something and then call you back in the next eye?
Okay.
Okay, great. Yeah, Warren, I tried to get in, and I got about a minute and a half with Peter Tanquist when he was on with Dwight the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And I found his statements to be so the problem, man, in all honesty. You know, these people don't understand why the Bahamian people voted them out of office. It's because they were so disingenuous with the Bahamian people. How could you talk about what's going to kill the Bahamian people when you and your administration, and you in particular, as the then Minister of Finance, increased VAT by 60% in the country? When your administration put thousands upon thousands of Bahamian workers on furlough, when your administration shut down the economy and closed down many of the struggling middle-class businesses that were just barely surviving by a thread, and many of them now closed and don't have an opportunity to come back. When your administration did not improve nor grow the economy nor provide the level of jobs necessary to reduce unemployment to any respectable consideration. I mean, Juan, this is just totally ridiculous. I'd say the conversation on specifically VAT for the next side of your discussion, because I want to add some points to that. But the F&M administration, they are just going along in this same vein that they were on from 2017, which got them from a 35-4 victory in Parliament to a 32-7 loss in Parliament. They need to change their approach, man. Thank you, Juan.
Okay, thanks a lot. Let's go to the news break. We'll be back. We'll talk about these models.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name is Will McCartney. Good to have you with us. We're talking about the proposed VAT hike. I'm not trying to sell no VAT hike, you know. What I'm saying is I'm trying to give this a chance, and I'm explaining my logic behind it. Now, you got to clarify for me what you mean by you eliminating all exemptions, because that's what's got people going, hey, man, not the breadbasket item thing. Okay, so are we talking about putting VAT on rent? Are we talking about putting VAT on, like, home insurance and life insurance? And you know what I mean? And so the government needs to come and clarify what it is that they're doing. But as far as the reducing the rate of VAT across the board, I'm all for it. All right, now, don't touch the things that are currently protecting people in poverty and the middle class and working class. Don't touch those. You could touch some stuff like the transshipment thing. That's fine. Do that. Right? And I was just making the point that I don't want to have this dishonest conversation about, oh, the poor, and vat on the poor, when, you know, the poor is not the one who's going to be funding this thing, not by a long shot, all right? And the poor already have protections in place, is what I'm saying. So, and I don't think that the breadbasket island thing is going to skyrocket their bill. I think that the bills will likely either be a wash or go down because they're lowering VAT on so many other things. It says, one, I actually agree with you, but I was playing devil's advocate. We can't take no more poor people. They're broken our country. And I'm not, that's not to denigrate the poor. It's to say they need help. But if we're going to have an honest conversation about how to help the country, we can't put the focus on, well, Jesus, breadbasket items, poor people are going to die. Right? To me, it's not intellectually honest. I so agree with you, Juan. I've been telling people daily that when you look at the whole picture, the savings are across the board, so-called poor people, and we all go to other places other than the food stores. We go to restaurants, car sales places, auto repair, auto parts, liquor stores, hardware stores. The conversation is too narrow-minded. The whole picture is being overlooked. I agree. It's the entire picture is being overlooked because we're focused on this one specific area to kill the whole idea. And what I don't want is for, like, Davis them to get, like, scared by public sentiment and not try it. Again, don't touch the stuff that currently makes sense. If you want to eliminate certain things, like, I understand they are going to zero rate medicine and domestic goods. Look, we got a call, fine. And we're going to talk about the models too. And you ain't got to agree with me, you know, but this is my point of view. Now, I know you do these ad hominem things. Oh, you're pompous and you're this and you're that. No. And that's just how you approach it. But I feel like Dave Chappelle, right? You don't listen. If you listen, nobody's saying forget poor people or denigrate poor people. I'm saying the conversation can't revolve around breadbasket items and its impact on those who are poor. It makes no sense to me. Chappelle's in all sorts of trouble over there, eh? Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hey, Juan.
Oh, hey, Anton. What's up?
Great, man. Just continuing on with the conversation. And you went just now exactly where I'm going to go. And, you know, I'm taking the leap of faith here to engage in this aspect of the conversation because, similar to you, I don't want for my prime minister and minister of economic affairs and cabinet as a whole to, because of some negative and some false public pushback that's disingenuous, go to cabinet and make a forced error in their decision to go ahead, right? However, I know that it is important to provide, and this conversation continues from the conversation I had with you either last week or week before last. I think it was last week. I think it was about 2 weeks ago, where I explained to you that the government has to find targeted ways that it can specifically alleviate some of the burdens of the middle class and the upper middle class in order to create opportunities to give us breathing room to be able to reap some rewards, to reinvest, and to further grow the economy. Because right now we have been caught in a tailspin of the 60% increase in VAT, the loss of the economy, the loss of the GDP, the shutting down of the economy, and we are still reeling in this country, right? Mm-hmm. You follow me, Juan?
I gotcha.
And so what is going to be most important, and this is, I guess, a sort of a plug for the other guys. I think that they had it right in a sense with the zero rating that they applied on certain activities, right?
Mm-hmm.
However, where they went wrong, Juan, and we're talking details now, where they went wrong is they allowed in their zero rating for all persons to be captured from all categories of the society. That is where they went wrong. That is where they lost a massive amount of revenue. You understand what I'm saying, Juan?
Yes, I got you.
In other words, I'm saying to you, for instance, just like you, I'm concerned about that zero rating, okay? Because if you're going to grant VAT on one end, which is major, but you're going to remove the zero rating on the items that are the big ticket items that the middle class needs and relies on in order to advance themselves and stabilize their families, it's going to hurt more than it's going to help. And so what they could do is keep the zero rating, but work with different scales in the zero rating. For instance, they have zero rating on homeowners insurance up to a certain value one. You don't want to allow those people who are considered rich, who have luxury homes or whatever the case may be in value, or who are building $10, $5, $8 million, $30, $20 million homes to be able to access zero rating on insurance. They don't need it one. They can afford it. You want to capture a certain segment of the society who makes up the working class, the middle class, and to some extent, the upper middle class. Okay? You understand what I'm saying, Juan?
Yeah, I got you. Yes, of course.
And so this is my public advice to my government, to my prime minister and minister of finance, to my minister of economic affairs, to the financial secretary, and those in the cabinet who will be deliberating on the final decision before they come to parliament to discuss what options and direction they're going to move in relating to VAT, the VAT increase, and in particular, the zero rating of items. The zero rating of items, one, is the deal maker or breaker. And how the government applies the zero rating, it's what's going to make the difference. And so to eliminate the zero rating entirely will still hurt the middle class who needs the break. Okay? Yeah. And so they need to consider what level of break or exemption they're going to put in order to maintain the zero rating, but still capture those who can most afford to pay for their insurances and other big ticket items that really help middle class persons to move from poor class to working class, or from working class to middle class, or from middle class to upper middle class. You understand what I'm saying, Juan?
Yeah, I got you. Yeah, right. I think that's a good strategy.
That's all I wanted to add. I think once the government gets that aspect of the strategy correct, and they create the right balance in there, so that they don't kill the middle class who's already struggling, then I think the middle class would appreciate it. The country will appreciate it, and those who are the minority in the country, the upper echelon, the 1 and the 3 percenters who could afford to pay the tax, should be able to shoulder or kick back their shoulders and say, you know what? We've been killing the country. We've been benefiting from the country. It's about time we pay our fair share and not cry when the burden is level on us. And if those who cry won't, I'll end on this point right here. Unlike with the Lightfoot Key situation, when the Minnesota administration was going to levy a tax on their second home or on property, if those who cry, not upper middle class and rich class, won't we, you know what? Let them cry in the wilderness. Okay? If they can't cry like the poor in the middle class, God bless one. Take care.
All right. Thanks, Anton. I'm going to say this, though. Terrible public relations and public education campaign on this so far by the Progressive Liberal Party, which kind of surprises me because they ran such an effective election campaign. But this is a horrible public. There's no way you start making announcements like this and don't show the modeling. Well, we now have the modeling, but we didn't before. There's no way you start making announcements like this and you can't get people to explain what is and isn't going to be impacted. It makes absolutely zero sense. So I would urge you, Progressive Liberal Party, get it together, man, because this is a terrible, terrible public relations job you're doing. You're letting people seize this conversation. All right. And take it in a place that makes no sense. Says Juan, so why haven't I heard you apologize for saying in June after the Minnesota administration during the budget debate announced revenue projections, you ignorantly said the government was being unrealistic. Now the numbers are out, and we've had a whopping $90 million beyond projections. Come on, man, be a man and apologize. You be a man. No, you. Be a man. Who are you people? Jesus wept. I'll say this. I said at the time, I believe the projections were too ambitious. You talk about ignorant and foolish. Many people agreed with me. The economy appears to be recovering faster than anticipated, even by those projections. And I said at the time that I would be happy to be wrong about that. And I am happy to be wrong. As for you judging my manhood, you can find something else to do. All right. Let's go to the phone line. All right. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hey, good afternoon, Juan.
Hey, how's it going?
I don't know if I am on topic today, but I'm calling and sending contact traces where you could have been.
We weren't talking about that, but if you want to say something, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm connected to somebody that's employed there, and to my understanding, they haven't been paid for over 3 months. The person's walking off the job. The person's just coming in every day on fumes, basically, to try and get by. We just need some clarification as to what's going on there. I don't know. I've tried to reach out to the minister. I went down to the head office on State Avenue, the Minister of Health, but that's not the head office, but there's a campaign office. And that's closed down now, of course, the election's over. And we just need some clarity, man. You know,
where are these contact tracers working?
They're working out of the Ministry of Health building on maybe 30 of them. Now it's dwindled down to maybe over, a little over a dozen because persons are just getting fed up and resigning. Well, not resigning, but quitting, just stopping.
They haven't been paid in 3 months, you say?
Some of them up to six because a friend of mine has met somebody there. And they left, and they were there 3 months prior to her arriving at the job.
Okay. I'm gonna make a note of it.
Say again?
I said I'm gonna make a note of it and try to get in touch with the health officials.
Yeah, there's a head nurse down there. I'm not gonna call any names, but my thing is, you know, I understand the nurses that are passing the information down for them to reach out to persons to contact those who come in contact with COVID and the ones who came in contact with the ones that were that test positive for COVID, you know, they're being paid. Nurses are being paid up there, that's fine. But the workers that, you know, do the actual calling to the persons and letting them know what's going on, but, you know, if they were in contact with somebody or not, they're not being paid. And I don't think the minister is aware of this or the permanent secretary, whoever it is that's connected with this area. You know, they need to look into the matter because here the things are backing up on folks working there. And
okay.
It seems to be clear about what is going on. Every day I'm understanding they just say, you know what, keep coming, and we'll take care of you eventually. And this is 3 months now.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. Okay, I'm going to try to figure it out, okay? And let you know.
Appreciate it.
All right, no problem. How do people go 3 months without getting paid and, like, don't, like, freak out? Like, I don't understand it. Like, what explanation could you give me that you are not paying me 3 months into a job? It says, Juan, you're speaking the truth. Okay. It says, thanks for defending the middle class, Juan. And the working class. I'm not that. Look, there's a lot of people who are working, all right, and trying very hard to save money so that they can be homeowners, and you put the burden on them as well. Then there are those who have saved, who have worked assiduously to become homeowners, who are very stressed by it, who feel the pinch, because most times the government raises taxes, they impact the working class and the middle class, and it gets harder to get by. And so if you're talking about lowering the rate of VAT, again, I wouldn't fool with these things that are zero rated or exempt for the most part. If you're talking about lowering the rate of VAT, that makes it easier for people to get by, easier for you to collect the taxes, then I want to see if it works. Okay, this is called the Bahamas Recovery and Sustainable Growth Project. Scenario simulation, VAT reduction and reduction of VAT concessions. Scenarios 19, 20, 21, 22, and 23. Now, 21 is what applies to us. I'll tell you what 21 is. So we got a phone call? Let's do the phone call. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hey.
Hey, good afternoon.
Hey, what's it, Brother McGartney?
Right here, man. How's it going?
Everything good, by the grace of God. I just called to find out, you heard the former prime minister contribution concerning this morning?
Man, I heard Darvill mashed him right down.
Man, you heard a nigga was, I trying to figure out why he going dealing with the pandemic. Why did he pick something else?
Yeah. We don't have any confidence in how he dealt with the pandemic. I don't know if he knows that or not. He should realize it by now.
He just made himself look worse now. But you know who this is, right?
Yeah, man.
It's Winston Wallace.
I know.
Yeah.
You getting stuff in order?
He's trying. That's what I thought you'd do. Just see if that thing of what you say you was going to do, if that could happen tomorrow.
Yeah, man, I got you. Come see me.
Tomorrow.
Come see me at the Guardian. Yeah.
So you want me to send someone away?
That's fine.
But
you see, you saying this on the air, but send somebody. Now, when someone come and say they come for the thing, an annual person.
No.
You see why you don't conduct your business like this?
I can talk to the producer.
All right.
Name who the person coming.
Okay, talk to the producer.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Thanks a lot, man.
All right, no problem. Okay. It says they didn't run an effective campaign. They paid another company to do it. Now they have to do it themselves now that the election is over. Well, get them back, right? Whoever you had doing it before, get them back. Because this ain't an effective way to communicate nothing. Okay? I was going to say something, but I'm not. Devil's trying to trap me today. It's not going to happen, Satan. Get. It says the cost of living is too high in this country, and the average person cannot make it in this country because minimum wage is too low. No one should be working in this country for less than $350 per week. Average minimum wage, this is a real problem. High cost of living and utility services such as BPL are robbing the people. I mean, I agree the cost of living is too high. That we do need to look at that. It says, tell Anton to quit these stupid, irritating comments. No point in rehashing what the FNM did. We need to focus on what the PLP will do. The reduction should help grow the economy. I mean, I don't mind referencing the FNM, okay? But I ain't trying to deal up with the FNM business because right now, Brave Davis is in the chair and we got to sink or swim by the decisions his cabinet makes. Says, if breadbasket items are now going to be taxed, what's the purpose of having them listed as breadbasket items? It's because you price control the breadbasket. That's why they're on the bread. They're in the breadbasket. This says, the PLP and FNM are basically the same. They're like medication with pros and cons. Build you up on one hand and break you down on the other. Bahamians should have voted for a third political party or independent people. Says, hi, Juan. Thank you for this show. My small business took a $50,000 loss last year. I got nothing from government. Now my sales are down 45%, but my staff wants a raise. Business owners are always the villains in this country. Says, Juan, good show. When will you be independently opine on some of these socioeconomic issues that we will have to face? The VAT reduction may minimize the shock of the near-term inflation. The largest funders of the poor are the middle and upper classes, by the way. UB actually did put out some research stuff, and a friend of mine who works at UB had sent me a release to put, but we didn't have a room in today's paper. But we could certainly shoot for tomorrow. But UB's, I don't know that they've done specifically on this, because I do check UB's research journals. They publish it at least quarterly, I believe. And I haven't seen anything specific to this, but I'm going to show you what their simulation said. This says, one of my biggest concerns is that medications are already insanely expensive. Imagine adding VAT. It's going to make meds less available to people. The medications that they now have exempt, like prescription drugs, let me say that, that now don't attract VAT, I don't think they should touch those. If you, like, aspirin's going to attract VAT, okay. It says, good afternoon. Who introduced VAT? You see him? MPLP. This says, quote, so-called poor people, what the texter mean by that? One life-altering hurricane, one major in illness, an injury, blindness, a brain aneurysm that renders someone unable to execute their trade, and they could become one of the so-called poor in a second. And here's the challenge. If you're not in the absolute poorest, there's no help. Well, that's not the case. So while the conversation needs to consider all variables, people should not be blaming the poor for being poor. Right. I'm not blaming the poor for being poor, okay? I say so-called poor people because you got to explain to me your definition of poor. Is it that am I poor or am I broke or am I actually living in poverty? Says, I want to call them poor because there ain't no poor people in the Bahamas. They may be low on cash, and when these people low on cash, go buy food, don't buy in bulk, so don't feel no VAT because they buy one or two bread basket items at a time. So for you to feel VAT, you have to buy plenty. Says, one, what are you suggesting about Clint? Clint? Oh, you mean the public education on this? This is not good. Right? You are in a crisis of public communication when other people are driving the narrative about your initiative. Right? When your opponents are whipping up a narrative about your initiative that's dominating conversation, you are losing in the field of public communications. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
I'm pleasure. Good afternoon, Mr. McCarthy. How are you doing?
Hey, man. How's it go?
Hey, dear. First of all, I just wanted to ask a question. People ask me to ask a question that before I make my comment. Why is it that Antoine seems to be getting more privilege than anybody else on the radio?
You know,
secondly, secondly, we have different classes of people in our little country that we grew up in. We have the elite, we have the rich, we have the middle class, we have the working poor, and we have the poor. And I hear everybody say what we need to do is we need to put more taxes on the elite and the rich. Now, in my synopsis, I say if we put more taxes on the elite and the rich, what will they simply do? Either they will close down a few of their business establishments and lay off staff, or they will raise their prices. And that will filter right down to the middle class, the poor, and the working poor. So the poor and the working poor and the middle class will always lose because we have no control over anything. Whatever they put their prices up to, if we want, we're going to have to buy. Unless we try to beat it by important things, traveling to Miami, whatever people say they're doing, where you got to rent a car, rent a hotel room, purchase your stuff, and then pay for all the stuff to come back with the duty and everything. So I don't know how we could get out of this when we call ourselves the working poor or the poor. Because the elites and the rich, they will always control in this thing. Because I heard the owner of one of the food chains one time told Mr. Jones on his show when they were discussing the VAT coming in. He told Mr. Jones, say, sir, I am straight. Me and my wife straight. Mm-hmm. My children straight. I am now working for my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren, so we straight. If they overtax me, I will either shut down some stores, lay off some staff, and work with what I got because we straight. So you think the government don't want anybody to lay off staff and shut down stores? They got bow to the rich every time they open their mouth. Have a good day.
Okay. We're going to get through this thing, by the way. It says, the PLP swung the people. Sharon Turner penned an article in The Guardian spot on about the VAT 10% reduction. Swing train strikes again. I read Sharon's article, and she didn't seem to be suggesting exactly what you're suggesting. She's suggesting that the whole premise of VAT, as introduced by the former the last PLP administration, was never going to pan out the way it said it was, okay? And I agree. And I oppose the implementation of VAT. I still don't want to pay the VAT. We're talking about reducing VAT. I'm all for it. I oppose when the FNM raised VAT. And hopefully you can understand why from the conversations we've been having today, all right? Before I get into your text, let me get some of this information out. This is called the Bahamas Recovery and Sustainable Growth Project, okay? Scenario simulations. Here's the simulations that they took into account, all right? One, VAT reduction from 12% to 10% for the entire simulation horizon. Scenario 19, together with VAT increase from 12% to 14%, scenario 20. Why are you even looking at that? Let's not even speak that into out loud. VAT reduction from 12% to 10% with removal of zero rating and level of concessions for the entire simulation horizon. And this is scenario 21, and that's a scenario we are going to look most closely at. Three, because that's what's happening, apparently. All right. VAT reduction from 12% to 10%, only for 2022 calendar year, then return to prior rates. Scenario 22. And VAT reduction from 12% to 10% only for 2022 calendar year with removal of zero rating and level of concessions. All right. So like I said, we're going to look at that scenario 23. We're going to look at scenario 21. More. Yeah. I totally agree with this. It says, Halkita should have just said what Brave said and no more. He went further to say both zero ratings and exemptions would be eliminated for the most part. If this is not what will happen, his statement added to the confusion that already existed. Classic consequence of uncoordinated communications. Exactly, right? So Davis is saying one thing, Halkidis is saying another. You got when you're talking about doing something like this, you got to get your messaging straight. Okay, so let's look at the scenario 21. We got to go down numerous pages, and it takes into account a number of things, but I'm going to deal with the things that you can wrap your arms around right now. Okay. So this looks at total GDP growth with reduction of that from 12% to 10% with the zero ratings, the removal of certain zero ratings and concessions. Okay, so this predicts that, and all the models look at it pretty much the same. So, but scenario 21 aligns with mostly all scenarios. So this is saying that GDP growth is expected to go from just over 10 billion, it's about 10.2 billion in 2021 to 12 billion by 2024 and nearly 15 billion by 2030. So in 10 years, we're looking at adding about $5 billion to the gross domestic product of the country, which would be nice. This says that tax revenue with this scenario is in the middle of the modeling. So this believes, this says that we're going to go from about $2 billion in tax collection 2022 to about 3.7 billion in 2030. This is with what we're doing. All right. This postulates that we're going to go from a $900 million deficit for 2021-2022, to, I ain't gonna lie, I don't believe this, but anyway, to a budget surplus of $400 million by 2030. I believe that when I see it. But that's fine, it's a model. All right. This says that the debt to GDP ratio, all right, the direct charge on the government, is going to go from about 96% for 2021-2022 to, according to this model, 78% debt to GDP by 2030. If they do the VAT, how they're saying. This says the unemployment rate. Now, I want you to pay attention to this. Now, the unemployment rate is going to go down anyway, particularly with economic growth. But the unemployment rate is going to go. This estimates unemployment at about just over 20% right now. I know what they based that on, but okay. This predicts that unemployment would drop to about 9% by 2030. Okay. This talks about the total number of people employed, which, you know, I don't know. Okay, this is saying we're going to go from a workforce of about 210,000 this fiscal year to about just over 280,000 by 2030. Okay? I hope you understand what we're getting at here. It's that this is supposed to help, all right? And their modeling shows it'll help. It shows three of their scenarios work, but not the one where they add the thing, the 12 to 14%. Okay, so poverty level, okay? We're talking about poverty, the poor, et cetera. All of your arts were bleeding today. So this says, despite breadbasket items attracting VAT, this says that poverty is expected to go from about 12.5% this fiscal year down to about 10% in 2020. It's not a great deal of shift, but okay. Okay, price index. This model shows that we're going to be in the middle ground if we take this route for price index increase. Right now it's about 110. This predicts it'll go to about 122 by 2030. Another model shows it going lower, but this one's in the middle. Okay. Now I'll pause there because, again, this gets technical. All right. This says, when will the menace hate stop? When will somebody get the minerals to implement income tax? Minerals? We haven't had a Ministry of Health press conference in a while. Where's Dr. McMillan, Dr. Forbes, Dr. Dal Regis, and others? Were they ushered out with the new day? I've heard from Dr. Forbes. I haven't heard from Dr. Dal Regis. I haven't heard from Dr. McMillan. It says, hi, Ax Sparky, why he is getting more airtime than me. It says, hey, Juan, looks like you and Naja on some kind of trick taking every Friday off. Juan, you see the government ain't saying anything about NIB pensioners or they ain't finished the budget. Throw that out there. Thank you. I think NIB, they have some, there's legislation that governs that. Hello, Juan. Wasn't it pressure from rating agencies during the Christie administration that caused there to be VAT? Can you recall the time that VAT was eventually supposed to go to 15%? Yeah, well, they said the F&M was planning on putting VAT in at 15%. And they said that they have the receipts to show that. It was just a confluence of things that they said they were implementing that led them to implement VAT. But basically, the thrust was that by implementing VAT, they're going to collect enough revenue to eventually eliminate deficit spending and then pay down the debt. Neither of those things happened. It says, Davis and Akita said the same thing. Please explain what they said that is different. Sure, no problem. I'll explain it for you right here. Okay? So let's say this. I'm going to find it for you right now. I'll show you what they said. Let me see. I lost it. Hold on. Davis said, quote, the VAT exemption for electricity bills and the special economic zones are untouched. The following day, Halkita said, quote, I think we're getting rid of all zero ratings and exemptions except for education and electricity. So there's a difference between things that are zero rated and things that are exempt. Okay? I said this at the beginning of the show. Zero rated, in the breadbasket items, medicine, biological products, certain categories of exports, certain transfers of real property, the acquisition of a home for first-time homeowners where the value does not exceed $500,000, water bills not exceeding $50 per cycle, transfers of home mortgages and home mortgages combined with domestic loans, and a supply of services comprising fundraising events and activities undertaken by registered charities and nonprofits. Okay? So that's zero-rated. Those things are zero-rated. What's exempt, okay, are life insurance, annuities, savings products, home insurance, domestic financial services that don't attract fees, medical service provided by public health to certain categories of patients, the sale or rental of a dwelling, the transfer of vacant land, services provided by care facilities for the aged, indigent, infirm, handicapped, et cetera. So the daycare services. So after school care, sorry, daycare and after school care. So we want to understand what is being eliminated. So it doesn't make sense to me to now attract VAT to daycare, all right? Or to put VAT on after school care, or to make facilities that care for the aged, the indigent, infirm, handicapped, or disabled to now pay VAT. So none of that makes sense. So they should remain exempt. Since when this drops to 10%, I know these businesses will not drop prices. If they pay in less, that customer should see the difference. Serious enforcement is needed. I mean, you could look at your bill and see it. The VAT rate will be lower. But the price control issue is an issue. And I know Rupert Roberts had said that they predict that prices are going to go up by like 8% next year. It says, good afternoon, Mr. McCartney. I know you're talking about VAT. The only thing I would say is the government should have done was simply to leave that as is and perhaps look at it a little later on. There's not much talks about our bad, uncared streets that we drive on every day. That's beyond repair. The former administration did little or nothing to maintain the streets we all drive on. They fixed some roads. It took a while. Like Blue Hill. And I keep seeing people like all over Village Road marking up the ground like they're going to do something, but y'all been doing that for several months now. It'd be great if y'all could just make it happen. I'd appreciate it. This says, good afternoon. Whatever happened to the ERC doc? We just got the executive summary. Yep, we did. I don't know. Good question. This says, good day. I think the present administration knew how a portion of the public would react to VAT going back on breadbasket items. That's why they didn't tell us how they would be able to manage the reduction of VAT going to 10%. I agree with the VAT going back on, though. You don't really feel the VAT in the stores anyway, and I make less than $40,000 a year. Yeah. It says, good day, one. Would have the government included survivors' benefits in the old age pension increase? It's the public, these are public service pensions that they're talking about. So the survivors' benefit is, correct me if I'm wrong, through NIB? Or no? Help me out. One, if they take away the zero rating for raw materials for manufacturers, it would kill about 10,000 jobs. Yeah, agreed. Certain things you can't, it just doesn't make sense to touch. And you're going to cause shocks to the system in terms of people are going to go, oh my God, that's going to kill me, right? My business here, I employ 8-10 people, you know what I mean? I can't take that. And you should have communicated this clearly so that people can understand. So banks are now going, so the VAT going on first-time homeowner mortgages now? You understand? You really have to be very careful in how you deal with something like this. Insurance companies are going, I see there's a story in the Tribune that some guys postulate. I don't know why they wrote this story, I'll be honest, but I don't work there. But, you know, some guys just postulating what if, what might be if they raise VAT on home insurance. And the fact of the matter is, I understand that they're not doing that. But the problem with this administration is, you should have said that when you come out with it, right? This is a terrible effort at public communications, okay? But it's okay. We got to take a break? We'll break, and we'll come back on the other side. We'll be right back.
tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Bahamas Check Services Limited has been printing checks, business forms, and deposit books in the Bahamas for over 30 years. We are highly specialized in creating custom forms to suit any and all your business needs. If you need continuous forms, continuous invoices, invoice books, or purchase orders, we can provide them for you. Call 677-8720 or email checks@coralwave.com.
So I come to work today, meet my coworker in front of the computer, crying. AC sky high, you know, but she's sweating. I ask her what happened.
The VAT.
Apparently, she ordered some stuff online, but she threatened with this VAT increase. I told her I cannot guarantee she won't feel the pinch of the increase, but I can guarantee low rates on her shipping fee from airborne freight and cargo services. Then she can ask me if I'm sure they still will give her low rates in spite of the increase. I ask her what but that she don't understand. If she look at the alphabet, she will see. A is A, B is B, C is C. That don't change. 1, 2, 3. I give the answer. Bye-bye.
Call Airborne Freight and Cargo Services at 377-0450 today.
At Ron's Electric Motors, they repair and rewind all major brands of electric motors, including water pumps, generators and generators back end, welding machines, electric lifts, air compressors, battery chargers, and more. They're equipped to handle up to 850 kilowatts and rewind up to 450 horsepower motors. They're conveniently located on the corner of Wolf and Clarence Roads and are open weekdays 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturdays till noon. They offer 24 hours emergency assistance. You can reach them 242-356-0249.
CG Atlantic Agents, how may I help you?
Yes, I want to know where to go to get third-party motor insurance.
Are you sitting down?
Yes.
Okay, could you put your feet up?
Okay.
Great. Just go to cgatlanticagents.com, where you can get a quote and buy your insurance online.
Relax. Now you can buy third-party motor insurance wherever and whenever you want. It's as easy as click, quote, buy. CG Atlantic Agents. Good like that. Nassau Insurance Brokers and Agents Limited, trading as CG Atlantic Agents.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name is Juan Cartney. So good to have you with us. We were just talking about the models that the government had done. The Bahamas Recovery and Sustainable Growth Project. Nah, some of them I don't really buy, but if we're going according to what you're saying, okay, we can understand how you would say, give me a menu of options, and I will take, I'll have this, okay? Because this is what you say it's going to be like? Okay, then let's do that. Okay, so I don't know if this is on the Ministry of Finance website, because I got this from one of our reporters who got it from one of the higher ups, but they said it was going to be on the website, and they were trying to put it on the website, but I don't see it on the website. But this type of information we should see, because I've to this day, I don't know where the models are for the 7.5% to 12% increase. I ain't never seen them. I keep hearing model, model, model. And now the Davis administration is saying that the models, they don't have those, they don't know where those models are. This says, we the people don't care what the FNM is saying, or the PLP for that matter. We address in issues only. Those trying to control the narrative, we see you, we don't care for you, we're dealing with issues only, this lap around. Thanks. Okay, fair enough. This says, survivors' benefits are NIB monthly payout. I haven't heard anything about that being increased. Not me. All right? Say, good day, keep the rate at 12%. I want the rate to go down. Nah, you already said that you're not going to put that on school fees, which works for me because I would have been outraged if that happened. So anyway, let me not tell. If you have children in private school, if you have more than one child in just one, you would understand that you pay more in school fees than you do for your grocery bill every month. I do. Okay? And so that can't work. It says, did you hear when Madam Speaker told Dr. Minnis that to save time during his communication, he should talk without using his hands? I did not hear that. That I did not hear. That would make no sense to me. It says, the model's in the same place as the master plan for the Prospect Ridge development. Someone need to go in the back and check them drawers. Good, good. Yeah. Okay, so in our final few minutes, I just want to rehash what we've said. Some of you take things the wrong way. That's fine. Again, we're not having real conversations in this country if we're only talking about the impact of things on the poor when they impact other people in a much greater respect, okay? That's no way to plan a country. It's no way to build a country. It's no way to drive an economy. I thought that it was just cynical pandering that they did these things with breadbasket. I'm like an announce it, you know? Jesus, I get flashbacks. I get chills remembering the nonsense of it all. The poor people have social safety nets. Is it perfect? Do a lot of people fall through the cracks? Absolutely. Do we need to focus more on that? Absolutely. But I need to understand beyond what happens with bread basket items, beyond the outrage and the uproar over bread and how people are going to die. I need to understand how this is going to impact the thousands and thousands of other households of working class and middle class people who fund the government. That's what I need to know. All right. We're like we say, we're majoring in the minors now. All right. I want to know about all the other things that you collect all this money on. Like, what? How's that going to change? Let me know. Okay. This says, great show as usual. Trust me on this. People who have their kids in public school have no clue how high Kingsway and QC school fee is. Probably not. I feel more power to them, you know? I'm glad that there's a public education system. Our public education system has taken thousands out of poverty, all right? Out of becoming the working poor, into the middle class and into the upper class as well. So it's been an overall great benefit to our society to have public education, to make it a priority to fund public education, just like it is with public health care. Okay? This says, isn't it easily arguable that if you opt to pay school fees in a country providing fully funded schools as well as private schools on government subsidy, that maybe those people could afford VAT on school fees? No, sir. That ain't no easy argument. I can't afford no VAT on school fee. That don't work. No, sir. That ain't no easy argument at all. All right. It's one, Kingsway Schoolfield will pull someone into deep poverty. No, man, I went to Kingsway. I don't know what it's like now, but I doubt it's as high as some of these schools around here. All right? So all I'm saying is broaden this conversation. All right? Because there are those of us who are saying, okay, I get it, breadbasket items, but I want to understand what's going on with this other stuff. Because that impacts me far, far, far more than breadbasket items ever will. All right? And I told you on Thursday, that there are a lot of people in this country who will be impacted by the increase in breadbasket items, but the lowering of the VAT on all the other items in the food store, to me, is at least a wash. All right? And if we're focusing just on that aspect of this conversation, with something that has a tremendous impact on the overall economy, then we've lost sight of where we should be. Okay? We're going to be here all week, God's Fair Life. And we're going to talk more about these things. We're not all going to agree on everything. Sometimes I will say things that perhaps people don't want to say, but are understanding that our stress level is being increased dramatically when you go up on VAT, when you are wavering on if they're going to reduce VAT XYZ or what exemptions are going on VAT. And we don't want to be any more stressed out than we already are. And so I'm not going to come on this station and pretend like I'm living in the ghetto and I'm a poor man and I'm not, right? But I understand how the economy works and I understand how the government is funded and how social safety net programs are funded. And so when you start toying with these things and impacting people's ability to really contribute to the government, then we have a problem. And so I'm tired talking about the breadbasket, as you could probably tell. And so I'm trying to move on and have a broader conversation about it because I think it's silly. All right, we got to go. You guys take care out there and have a great day, Bahamas.